Written a question on the board. Are you filled? I'd like to begin this morning in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We'll start with the 15th verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's not something that we hear taught or preached, it seems like, too often from our pulpit. What is expressed in the 18th verse here, it says quite simply, be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk. Well, there's certainly a lot of it in the world, and where there was a time that it seemed like things were taboo, where there was a certain image of somebody that was a frequenter of the bars, that image has changed in society. It's not considered that same maybe class of people or type of person that isn't considered maybe a family man or woman. The perspective has changed in our world and is much more tolerant, and I'd say more than tolerant, of drunkenness, of partaking of alcohol. It's very commonplace in the workplace. Be invited very often among those who in other conversations are glad to discuss the things of the Lord with you. Whenever it comes time, happy hour, they want to go and invite you to partake with them of some what they call adult beverage at the local bar. I don't know a time that I've ever seen so many distilleries, bars, breweries, and that being the hub of activity of a town or neighborhood. It says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't allow yourself to be given to the influence of that thing. But what I really want us to focus on this morning is kind of the latter half of that. Don't be drunk with wine. And I think any of us reasonably would understand or agree that it's not limited to a specific type of alcoholic beverage. Don't be drunk. Don't be given to the power of such a substance as that. And I believe Scripture is pretty consistent in that theme. But right after that it says, but. There's something that hinges here. There's something that says, don't do this. Don't partake of this. Don't allow yourself to be filled with this in your life. But. There's something else here that you are to be filled with. You know what the Lord does for us in salvation? It's not just a subtractive work. The Lord doesn't just come along and strip away and take away until I have nothing left and I am laid bare. You know there are things the Lord does indeed want to take away. But the Lord doesn't take away but what He adds in its place. And I'd go so far as to say not only additive, but multiplicative, that the Lord wants to multiply some things unto us. Well, alcohol is called, I've heard it expressed as liquid courage. Well, you understand the context of that, the meaning of it? Where people may have inhibitions, where they may have cautions upon them, where they may naturally be reserved and kind of hold back and a cautious kind of person, they say, get you some liquid courage. Let your guard down a little bit. Once you have a little bit of a buzz, you're not inhibited anymore. You can be free. You can say things that you wouldn't normally say. And that's celebrated. Liquid courage. We also hear folks talk about drowning their sorrows. You know, in each of those cases, the Lord has a better plan for both of those. The Lord doesn't just come to take away every opportunity, but He comes to give us something far superior than what the world has to offer. The world will have a substitute for just about everything that the Lord offers. But the Lord wants us to realize that what He has to offer us is so far superior that when we get a hold of what the Lord's plan is, we won't even want what the alternative or what the substitute is. And I pray the Lord would help us today to be impressed upon our hearts that the Lord wants us not just to be emptied out, but He wants us to be filled with something. I'd like to look at Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans 13 and the 12th verse says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Romans, the first chapter in the 29th verse, says this: "Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, etc." It says they're filled with these things. You know, the world is filled. People in the world are filled up, but with all the wrong things. Filled up with the pleasures of the flesh and of sin, and filled up with malignity and with hatred and envy and strife and lust and all those kind of things. They're filled. So it is that many people in the world don't have any room for God. Don't have room. They don't have time in their thoughts to consider the things of God or the needs of their soul. They're filled up. And there are so many things in this world that serve to fill us, that serve to fill our time, that serve to fill and occupy our thoughts to such a full capacity that I don't have any room left for God. It says they're full. Jesus said unto the Pharisees that you've cleansed the outside of the cup, but inside you're full of extortion and excess. So the question today really is, maybe not even as much are you filled, but with what are you filled? The Lord wants to fill us with His fullness. For that to happen, I'm going to have to be willing to empty out. I'm going to have to be willing to deny some things of the flesh so that I can be filled with the things of God. Because the same vessel cannot hold the clean and the dirty, the holy and the unrighteous. Which will I be filled with? I'd like to look at the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Matthew 12, and beginning in the 43rd verse. "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, He walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. What's wrong with that? It sounds necessary, doesn't it, with what occupied this house before? You know, if you're going to go in and do a remodel job on a house, many times there's some stuff you're going to have to tear out first. There's some things that are maybe holding mold and starting to decay and deteriorate that if you get some water back behind your drywall, for instance, you don't want to just put a coat of paint over it. You know, there are things inside people's hearts and minds and lives that salvation does more than just putting a whitewash covering over it. It does more than just try to put a pretty face on it. But the Lord came to empty out and to fill up. He came and He found the house emptied, swept, garnished. That was necessary. But it says, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation. Again, I say to us, the Lord's plan is not to just empty us out. It is. The Lord wants to empty us out and He wants to sweep us clean of unrighteousness, of hatred, of bitterness. We have a picture that's a type in the Old Testament of the Passover. As part of the Passover, they were required to go and sweep and search out their houses for any leaven. Leaven which was representative of a defiling influence, of something that was of corruption, that you go and search it out and clean it. You you put some diligence to this to make sure there's not an extra container of leaven underneath somewhere. Some maybe sprinkled on the cabinet. I'm going and sweeping it clean of anything that is defiling and impure. Salvation is a perfect and a complete work. The Lord, the blood of Jesus, He said, cleanses us not from the majority of our sins, but the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from all sin. Folks, His blood does a complete work in our lives and in our hearts. It cleanses that sin from within our hearts. But the Lord's plan of salvation did not stop there. You ever hear the phrase or read the phrase full salvation? You know, the Lord's plan, full plan for us, is not to only be swept out and cleaned out and emptied out, but first for that to happen so that He can in its place fill us with something that fills us to the brim. The Lord wants to fill us with something of great value. There is a danger in not being filled. There's a danger in being emptied out and not filled. And we see it here in what Jesus is expressing, the thought that He's expressing to them here. You know how a syringe works? Somebody's going to draw blood, for example. You know what you do with a syringe to draw blood? Doesn't require a pump or something. It requires you evacuating the inside of that syringe. It requires you removing the air that is inside it. And you know what will automatically happen when you remove that air? You're creating a vacuum. It's what happens when you remove something. Every space is occupied. And when you remove what's in that space, it creates a vacuum. There's air inside of a syringe. And when you remove that air, it creates a vacuum that just wants to suck something back into its place. And so it is that you can draw blood or whatever kind of liquid into that by that force of vacuum inside the syringe. The Lord didn't come to leave us with a vacuum. He didn't come to just empty us out. And I fear that the enemy too often tries to paint in people's minds that salvation and living for the Lord is only about denying myself. I can't do this and I can't go there and I can't enjoy this thing that I one time enjoyed. And he paints such a picture that leaves people thinking, how could you live that way? Why would I want to? Why would I want to give up and give up and give up? And the picture in their mind perhaps is somebody that just sits around and they have nothing that they're allowed to do. No, what do you do for fun anyway? People ask me one man claimed I was Amish. His reason, not because my conveyance was pulled by horses, but because when he was asked about some television show, I said, no, I'm sorry, I haven't watched it. I don't have a television. You what? Clint, are you Amish? Well, no, I'm really not, but that wasn't satisfactory. To him, that was something so extreme that that's the only plausible explanation. And so people would come into work and he would introduce, "Hi, this is Clint, he's Amish." But you know, I didn't consider myself neglected. I didn't consider myself deprived. Because I'm going to tell you something, I don't have a vacuum inside. There's something that's replaced that. And it's what the scripture we first read was dealing with. Don't be drunk with wine. We could dwell on that and say it's a negative. It's a denial. It's a thou shalt not. It's a you cannot. That's all salvation is. That's all living for the Lord is. There is an element of that. Absolutely there's an element of that. And if you hear a message that says otherwise, be careful. Beware of that message. The message of the gospel is still, whosoever will come after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself. Oh, but that's not the end. That's not all there is to the story. The Lord wants to not just take away, but he takes away only so that he can replace with something so much greater. As another illustration, I'm not the expert in the family on HVAC, but if you have a negative pressure in a building, in essence, you're taking more out than what you're putting in. You'll find it trying to replace, doing essentially the same thing as the vacuum of a syringe that we talked about. Negative pressure means if you've ever gone and you try to open the door maybe into a business and there's resistance, it's hard, and then you feel a rush of air past you into the building because it's under negative pressure. And when the pressure inside is lower than the pressure outside, it's going to suck something in. And it'll find every crack and crevice that it can. And it'll seep in, and that's why you feel, we lived in an old 160-some-year-old farmhouse, and I couldn't see any daylight through the walls, or really even under the door much. But I'm going to tell you, in the wintertime, I felt a draft. There was some, and we burned a wood stove, which draws air, and it draws a vacuum, and it is going to try to replace the air that is evacuated from that space, and it's going to try to draw in and replace that air. Well, it's drawing in from that 20 degree or whatever that air is outside right across my feet. Well, what I want us to get from this is an understanding of what I believe the Lord wants us to realize, that the Lord does not want our lives to be a negative pressure. He does not want our lives, our hearts, our minds to be empty. You ever hear the phrase, an idle mind is the devil's what? Workshop. In other words, you leave something empty. You sit around with your mind and your thoughts just wondering with nothing better to do. You get on one of these with a vacuum inside your heart and your mind. Guess what? The pressures that are out in the world are going to seek out every crack and crevice that it can in your life and start trying to infiltrate that space. Well, there's an answer to that. You can pressurize a building so that it's a positive pressure. You know, the Lord wants to fill us up so that there's not this vacuum in our lives. Folks, we're not called to live in a monastery somewhere. We're not called. I love meeting with God's people up in the hills of West Virginia. I enjoy not having cell coverage for a little while. But you know, the Lord, I don't believe we're all going to move up here to Green Bank, West Virginia. And I don't believe that's the Lord's plan. And you know, the world's up here in Green Bank, West Virginia too. But the Lord's not calling us to something on the top of a cliff somewhere where we live all by ourselves. You know, there can be a vacuum of thoughts right up there that the enemy is right there to try to fill. Jesus said, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you keep them from the evil. You know, it's not the water of the ocean that sinks the ship. The water of the ocean floats the ship. But it's when the water of the ocean gets inside the ship is when it sinks it. It's not the corruption and the evil of the world that'll bring us down. It's if we allow our minds and our spirits, our thoughts, our desires to be infiltrated by the pressures of this world. If we allow them a safe haven, if we have a place in our hearts and in our lives that has not been filled, those things will seek out to fill that space in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus knew this. And I believe it's why He prayed in the 17th chapter of John so earnestly of what I just mentioned. Father, keep them through Thy name. Keep them from the evil that's in the world. He prayed that they might be one. You know, it's why He also spoke unto the disciples and said, it is necessary, not for me, it's necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And oh, how necessary the Comforter is for you. I'm sure that was hard for the disciples to understand. What do you mean we need you to go away? Oh, how I need you. How I need you, right? Remember the man who was legion, from whom the spirits were cast out whenever Jesus commanded him. And you remember what that man's desire was? He prayed, Jesus, let me go with you. Let me follow you. Well, I understand that. I remember those influences that I was around. We don't know his backstory and what caused him to be susceptible and let down his guard and open himself up to those spirits. But they're back here. Oh, I recognize an authority and a power in this man that I've just met. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to leave your presence. But Jesus said, I want you to go and stay. Stay behind. And so Jesus told the disciples, I've got to go back to the Father. And there's a reason for it. Jesus, as He was in the flesh, could be in but one place at a time. He said, it's expedient that I go away. The plan is not yet complete. You say, well, what does that mean? Was the blood of Jesus deficient? Was it inadequate? Was the first work of grace not enough? Jesus didn't discount at all the price that He paid on Calvary. He said, it is finished. And with those words, the veil of the temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom. It was torn. And access was made into the Holy of Holies. And without belaboring all of the types and the shadows of Scripture, there was a place that the believer could not go. There was a place that it could not access. No one but the high priest, and he but once a year could go into the Holy of Holies. With the blood of Jesus shed, that blood opened the way and gave access into the Holy of Holies. It opened the way for it. And by that blood, if you look at the type of the temple, whenever they would bring and make an atonement for the sins of the people, they would take the blood of the sacrificed animal and apply it to the brazen altar. They would then take of the same blood and take it into the holy place and apply it onto the golden altar. It wasn't saying that the blood of that lamb was inadequate or it wasn't enough. You take the same blood and it gives you access into the holy place. Folks, in our lives, the Lord has a plan for us to be filled. The plan of full salvation is this, that we be cleansed from our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that access then made into the Holy of Holies, there is a place, a subsequent work of grace that the Lord wants His people to enter into. The unclean cannot receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But those vessels that are cleansed, that are emptied out of self and carnality and their will and their desires, emptied out, presented as candidates now to be filled. The plan is not to go throughout your life as an empty vessel. Oh, it's so important for us to get saved and to start our walk with the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to need something more than that. We're going to need a power within us. We're going to need something that keeps us. We're going to need something that fills us in our lives and in our hearts. And that something is not a thing. It is the Holy Spirit that He sent. The promise of the Father. Oh, He said, it's necessary that I go back so that you can receive the promise of the Father. The enemy tries to make sanctification seem so far out of reach, so impossible to attain, something that maybe whenever I've been saved 30 years, I'll be able to understand it somehow. Folks, it is given to us. It is expedient for us. It is necessary for us. The blood of Jesus is the ticket to go to heaven. You know that? As evidenced by a thief who was nailed to a cross, a thief, and who breathed his last breath a saint by Jesus' atoning power. And He said, this day you'll be with Me in paradise. There wasn't time to take Him down off the cross and go baptize Him. That doesn't take away from the importance and necessity of baptism. But there wasn't time for that to transpire before He drew His last breath. Nor was there time for Him to be filled with the infilling of this promise that Jesus foretold of. But He said, this day you'll be with Me. Salvation makes us candidates to enter heaven. Sanctification equips us to make the journey. And for many of us, the journey may be very long. Think about Elijah whenever he was on the run for his life. He ate. The angels prepared a meal for him and he ate and he laid down and he slept and they touched him and they woke him and said, eat again. They knew what he was going to need. Rise and eat again. And he ate again and went in the strength of that thing for 40 days. We're going to need a power within us, a sustaining grace within us that keeps us for the long haul, that empowers us, that deals with this nature that I was born with. We're going to need something inside of us that'll address that thing, that'll cleanse and deal with that thing in our heart and in our life. I don't want to be swept and garnished and left empty and and just a vacuum. I don't believe the Lord's plan for us being filled is that you wait for 10 years. Well, what did He tell the disciples? I've got a work for you to do. Go out into all the world. But first, your first order of business is to tarry in Jerusalem and set yourself, just wait upon the Lord. Wait for this promise of the Father. You're not equipped, you're not prepared until that happens and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. The very disciples who Jesus said, I have kept them in Thy name and have lost none of them save one, the son of perdition. They who were saved by the atoning power of Jesus Christ, He said, it's not finished yet. That Holy Spirit that has been with you shall be in you. So tarry here. Wait in Jerusalem until you receive this promise of the Father. I believe we heard reference already in this meeting, a comment about the experience of the wilderness. Children of Israel led out of Egypt, as we understand it, to be a type of sin. They went through a transitory, short-term experience in their journey where they're passing through this place to get to their destination. The wilderness was never the destination. The Canaan land was. And there was a line, there was a river, there was a definite point of entry into the Canaan land. The Canaan land also didn't fall in a day. It fell city by city by city. Look at the disciples' before and after picture. Look at Peter before. Peter, who was so sure of himself, who was not very introspective, self-aware. Peter, who was so quick to pop off at what popped into his mind. You see Peter in the after picture, standing up with boldness. Well, he had some boldness before, but I'm going to tell you that boldness wasn't very tempered. It was like a loose cannon. And the Lord said, I want to point that cannon. I want to sanctify that nature of yours. And he stood up with boldness and he began to proclaim the message. And there was a weight, there was something that rung true to his words that he spoke that wasn't about Peter. There was something now that had filled Peter. Oh, folks, we need this, and it's still available for us today in this day and in this time. I'd like to look at a couple scriptures of this after picture. Found in the book of Acts. Let's look at the 13th chapter. Now keep in mind the before. The disciples, who many of them were fearful in those days before Jesus' resurrection, who were shiftless, who were without direction and purpose and not sure what to do next. The 13th chapter of Acts. The 50th verse says, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women of the city, and chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Well, what was the context here? We understand joy when something good happens to us, but this was something that went deeper than that. This was something now, even in the face of persecution, that they didn't wither from it. They had something within them that had filled them now. And where there was opportunity for bitterness and resentment and reviling against them and giving them a piece of my mind, instead there was something else that filled them. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Acts the 7th chapter, we read of a man named Stephen. Acts 7 and 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart as Stephen had been preaching. They gnashed on him with their teeth, But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran against him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. As the very people he was trying to reach and help and love with the truth turned on him and gnashed at him, began throwing the stones at him, oh, there was something that rose up in him, all right. Or there was something that was already filled within him. And it says, and Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, he was filled. Had there been a vacuum, had there been just an empty vessel there, how easy it would have been for some resentment, hatred, bitterness, and malice to find its way in and infiltrate that vessel. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, there's no room for that. Folks, we need to be so full that there's no room. When the enemy comes along with his, trying to peddle his wares, when the enemy comes along with his thoughts and suggestions and temptations, folks, we need a power within us to keep us. And living for the Lord and being successful is about more than just gritting your teeth and saying, I cannot, I cannot, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't think that. There's an element of that, and I hope I've been clear with this. There's an element of that, that you're going to have to be willing to say no and deny yourself. But we also don't sit around a vacuum. Folks, there's something the Lord has sent to fill in its place. And it applies even in our lives as we're facing temptation. When the enemy's coming in like a flood, you know there's a way to combat that? Lord, I want to have a positive pressure here. Let me fill my thoughts instead with something else. It's not about just denying all the thoughts and all. Lord, I want to replace it and fill it with something else. So the question today is not, were you filled? It's, are you filled? The practical reality of our experience today. It's about more than an experience that I can point back to 10, 15, 20 years ago and say, well, I went to the altar and I prayed. Are you filled? How's your vessel today? Is it empty? Is it partly empty? You know, the Lord wants to fill us. And I'll just tell you, there have been places in my life since I've been sanctified that I've recognized, Lord, I need some more. Lord, I call it, top me off. Lord, I need a fresh outpouring here of your Spirit. Lord, it seemed like things are starting to gain some traction here. Some thoughts and some the pressures of the world. Lord, I'm starting to feel it here. Lord, I want to make sure that I am full. Jesus, Scripture says of him that he was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. You know, there's something within us that is proportional to the degree to which we yield ourselves to the Lord. The degree to which I surrender myself to him. Am I full? Lord, help us today that we be filled so that we're not sucking in the stuff of the world. So we don't have a vacuum in our hearts, lives, and minds. But he wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit. He wants to fill us with righteousness, being filled with the knowledge of God. I think one place said, there's a lot that the Lord wants to fill us with. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness in our lives. Folks, it's not an empty, barren experience that the Lord has for us. This full salvation is one wherein we are filled, that we have life and we have it more abundantly through the full plan of God that He offers to every one of us, that we don't have to go through life feeling deprived, feeling like I'm in a straitjacket. I just can't do anything. Oh, the Lord wants to fill us up with something. That song, "I Am From Sin Set Free," kind of illustrates it. As by the light of opening day, the stars are all concealed. It's talking about when Jesus is revealed. The pleasures of sin, they're gone. You know, whenever I am filled and full, it just loses its appeal. It loses its attraction. The problem is when I'm running low. The problem is when I'm empty. That thing just wants to suck in and fill it up. Lord bless and help each one of us. You pray for me. Amen.